You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
The rabbis teach that the custom or the mitzvah of marrying with a ketubah, actually the Rambam, we'll see the source in a minute, makes it clear it's a mitzvah. You're forbidden to live in marriage without a ketubah. And the rabbis like to learn this out from the Torah, but actually as they learn all of the, or many of the laws of marriage out of the Torah. Now, it's a big jump because the Torah doesn't really talk about a ketubah, but there are some verses in Shemot which hint at it. I think we would call it now sexual abuse. The verse, v'chifata ish p'tula sh'arlo orasa v'shechav ima. Someone seduces a virgin that's not betrothed and he has sex with her. So then he goes on to say, mahor yim harena lo le'isha. He'll pay the mahor, a marriage price for her to be his wife. And then if her father refuses, he has to pay kesef yishkol kamohar ha'p'tulot. So he has to give her silver according to the marriage price of virgin. So there's some idea in the Torah that there's a financial settlement that has to be put down in silver in order to conduct a marriage. And the Rambam at the beginning of, not the beginning, the Rambam in the 10th chapter of the Hilchot Ishut in the Mishneh Torah goes through the whole procedure for a marriage. He goes through the chuppah ceremony and the brachot and so on. And then, he goes through the whole thing. And so it's not until halfway through the 10th chapter that he actually gets to the point where a man brings a woman into his house. And then he says, "V'tzarich lichtov ketubah kodem knisa." He must write a marriage contract before kodem knisa la chuppah, before entry into the chuppah. So in those times, the betrothal and the chuppah were many months apart. Now we do them together. But then they were many months apart. So when the Rambam here is talking about entry into the chuppah, he actually means entry into real marriage. So he has to write the ketubah. V'char kach yeh mutar b'ishto. And afterwards, he's permitted to live with his wife. And then the Rambam goes on, v'hechatan noten schar ha-sofer. The groom pays the scribe to write the ketubah. How much does he write? If she was a virgin, it's not less than 200 dinarim. And if she's not a virgin, it's lost not less than 100 dinarim. 100 dinarim is a significant sum. It's more or less the price of rental of a courtyard for a year. So this is a significant sum of money. And then the Rambam concludes, The Rambam is saying this is a takana of the rabbis. This is not a deraita. Although there are commentators who learn this out from the verses in Shemot. The sages ordained the requirement of a ketubah for a wife. So it wouldn't be a casual matter for him to divorce her. And then he goes on a few halachot later. In the same chapter, he says, "Asur lo la adam lishchot im ishto afilu sha'a achat below ketuba." It's forbidden for a man to continue living with his wife for even a single hour without a ketuba. So that's the introduction to the Masechet of Ketubot. As a leitmotif, I would say that Ketubot is about how marriage works in practice. Kiddushin, which we'll learn later in a few months' time, is kind of about how you kind of betroth someone theoretically. But Ketubot is how marriage works in practice. And we'll see a lot of practical issues about marriage as we go through the tractate. But interestingly, it starts just as the Mishneh Torah kind of suggested, with questions of money. Betulani seipi, well, with questions of money and issues related to money. So we're going to begin in the first Mishnah. Betulani seipi yom ha-revi'i ve'almanav yom ha-mishi. A virgin is married on a Wednesday and a widow on a Thursday. So we're going to start with the date of the marriage. And by the way, our current custom does not follow this practice. A virgin is married on Wednesday. Because the courts sit in the towns on Mondays and Thursdays. And we've seen this before. The courts sit in towns on Mondays and Thursdays. Mondays and Thursdays are market days. We know that the Torah is read on Mondays and Thursdays. In towns which are around villages, the Megillah is read on Mondays and Thursdays. By Yom HaSheni uVayom HaMishi. So the courts sit on Mondays and Thursdays. She'im hayalo tan butulim haya mashkim levet din. So that if he had a claim about virginity, he could get up early and go to the bet din. And we look at this Mishnah today, and we think it's a puzzling way to start the Mishnah Ketubot. And there is a financial issue, as the Rambam said, that the marriage price for a virgin is different from that for a widow. And so I guess there's a financial question there, but I guess there's also a question which goes to the heart of the philosophy of the rabbis in terms of what a marriage is really all about. And the Mishnah goes on. I mean, you may ask, why is a widow married on Thursday? Because there's no question of a virginity claim there. And the Gemara actually says, look, the reason she's married on Thursday is because we know that her husband is not going to go to work on a Friday. And that means that the couple get 3 days together. Whereas far as a virgin is concerned, we already know that there's 7 days of Shiva Brachot. So the question of holiday doesn't arise. And as for the question as to why a virgin might not get married on a Sunday, because the court sits on Monday, right? So maybe if the only rationale is the court sitting calendar, maybe she can get married on Monday. But again, the Gemara suggests that the husband should spend at least 3 days organizing the wedding. So you can't get married on a Sunday because, Shabbat's in the way, the groom can't organize the wedding for 3 days under those circumstances. The Mishnah then goes on. This is exactly what we learned in the Mishneh Torah. A virgin, her ketubah is 200. And the Mishnah knows we're talking about 200 zuz. And a widow, a maneh. So a maneh is 100 zuz. Interestingly, the rabbis, and we could have a discussion about about the financial value of virginity, but we could also have a discussion about the financial incentives which the rabbis are providing to marry off widows. And we've said before that one of the central trends that we've been seeing in the Mishnah of Yevamot is the rabbis don't like women to be chained, to be alone, to be separated. So the rabbis are always trying to fix people up. So by reducing the bride price for a widow to half that for a virgin, effectively they're kind of incentivizing men to marry widows. And from a social construct point of view, we can see this is a positive thing. So what about a widow who's also a virgin? So now we're going to get into more technical issues. Betula almana. So a widow who's also a virgin, maybe she was a widow, betula almana, a widow who's a virgin, grusha, maybe she's divorced, v'chalutza mina erusin, or she's got a chalutza from betrothal. From betrothal here, this would be from a ma'amar. I mean, we know that once betrothal takes place, it can't be undone except by a get. So in theory, if you were betrothed, but not yet married, if your husband died, you'd be a widow. If you separated, he would have to give you a get. You'd be a divorcee. And we've already said that if you were a Yuvama, then someone could do Amar, and then no, Chalutza from betrothal would be you're married to someone who dies childless, but you're betrothed to someone who dies childless, and then you give Chalitza to your brother-in-law. So a virgin who's a widow, divorced, or Chalutza from betrothal. Ketubah tama time. Her ketubah is 200, because there's no question about her virginity. V'yesh lahem tan betulin, and you could make a claim in the court of non-virginity if you were the husband. Agioret v'ashvuya v'ashifta. Sheniftor, shenifgoyu, a proselyte, or a redeemed captive, or a slave. And these are three categories who the Mishnah is going to assume are never going to be virgins. A proselyte because she comes from Roman society, and the rabbis assume that Romans have sex with underage girls. Hashviua, someone who's been captive. The rabbis are assuming that someone captured in war is going to have been raped. Vashifra, and a slave. I think the rabbis are assuming that someone who's been bought as a slave has at some point been raped by her owner. And, you know, these are tragic. Anyway, when we read over this Mishnah, we realize what the reality of life was in the time of the Mishnah. Sheniftu or shenit garu or shenishtachru hutam ibnot shlosha shanim v'yom echad. So they've been redeemed or converted or freed when less than 3 days, 3 years and 1 day old. So we kind of assume that, essentially the assumption of virginity holds. Ketubatan matayim, v'yesh lahem matanat betulim. Their ketubah is 200 and there can be a claim of non-virginity. In other words, if they're older than three, we assume that they may have been raped. And this is not to say, by the way, that the rabbis are condoning underage sex or sex with three-year-olds. The rabbis are just saying, look, in the society they're living in, and it's very interesting, actually, just seeing the kind of the boundaries that the rabbis are putting around marriage versus the behavior that they see in society outside. Rabbis are saying, look, in the societies we live in, if a girl comes to us from these situations, we just assume that she's been raped before she reaches a Jewish marriage.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.